This is Out of School, a show about the intersection of technology and education. My name is Bradley Chambers. I am joined today by Brian Warrington from classbooks.com. Frazier will be out the next few weeks on paternity leave. He has the impending birth of a new child, so he'll be out this week, next week, and then the following week. So we're going to give him a few weeks off. So if you talk to him on Twitter or Google Plus or app.net, send him a congratulations once he announces it. So, Brian, how's it going today?
Good, good. We made it through the winter storms up here in the Northeast pretty much unscathed. Got some clients in the Boston area and over in Connecticut that got anywhere from 25 to 35 inches of snow. But Albany, New York really didn't get too much, so we kind of made it through.
Well, it's funny. I've got a friend of the show, Dave Kalo, who writes for the unofficial Apple weblog. He, he'll tweet all the time about they get a bunch of snow up in Cape Cod and they won't cancel school. Well, down here in the South, we have literally canceled school because the impending threat of ice the following day. we're just not prepared for it. I mean, we just don't have. I mean, we had a blizzard back in 1993, and people still talk about it.
Definitely,
we still see T-shirts. I survived the blizzard of 93. And then I've had one white Christmas in my life, and we just don't have that much snow. We really don't have that much of a weather fluctuation at all. We've had a few bouts of tornadoes in the recent years, but we're surrounded by so many mountains, it kind of keeps a lot of the weather out. But when it does happen, we have to shut down school for a week.
Sure. And I mean, it's tough. How are you going to develop an entire infrastructure to deal with snow on the chance you might get one storm every,
Brian's mic dropped out right here, so we had to edit that part out. But back to the show.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
We didn't get too much snow, but then we've got people that still don't have school today. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. So quick little follow-up from last week. We talked about the VoiceStream app for iPhone, which allows you to load in PDFs and EPUBs, and it'll do text-to-voice. Text-to-speech on iPad and iPhone. I did talk to the developer over the weekend, and Evernote integration is coming where it'll be able to import from Evernote, so that's good. Last thing on Evernote is if you're an Evernote Essentials reader, it's the great ebook by Brett Kelly over at thenerdgap.com. He has just launched Evernote Essentials 3.0, so if you're a current customer, you'll get an email at some point soon with the link to download it. And if you're a new customer, it's a great day to download it. $29, a great value if you're looking to take control of Evernote. So it's Evernote Essentials 3.0. So we'll have links to all that stuff in the show notes at outofschool.net or in your favorite podcasting client. So, Brian, I guess tell us a little bit about classbooks.com. You know, I met you guys back in Atlanta, I guess, in the fall, and you guys kind of fill in a great niche. I mean, it's the ebook market is complicated, so having someone now help you navigate it is helpful. So tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
So classbook.com, we've been around for about 20 years now as a company. And the way we started out was we were, a company that if a school had a bricks and mortar bookstore and they wanted to outsource it to a service such as ours, we would handle the facilitation of their students placing orders through our online bookstore, and then we would ship their print books direct to their home address. Fast track a couple years back around the 2009-2010 timeframe or even into 11, and we found schools that said, listen, we want to move to ebooks. We want our students to not have to buy print books. We want them to just be able to use one device and pull all their ebooks onto it to be able to carry that around the class. To do that, we actually ended up figuring out first how we were going to facilitate that ordering process and just make it as streamlined as possible so that the students could still go to a specific course and start placing orders and pull different ebooks from different companies and then make it an easy process for them to be able to access that on their device. To do that, we started talking, and this was going back a couple of years now, we started talking to the different companies that are out there that are already providing content to make sure that we could form the necessary partnerships and relationships with them so that we could have parents ordering through classbook.com and having those ebooks sent right to the student's device. Companies like Inkling, KNO, CourseSmart, Apple iBooks, Amazon Kindle. We wanted to be sure that schools that wanted to go digital could pull content from all of these different companies and these top providers and still have a one-stop shopping experience for their parents. We looked into creating our own reader, and we looked into different ways to facilitate content to the students, and we found that the top providers that are out there are already doing a great job of creating content in the digital world. And also we found that publishers are also putting stuff out there in digital format as well. And we didn't see the point in moving forward with our own reader when we could just have an application where the student could log in and see all the ebooks that they purchased direct from Classbook and then go through and access them themselves. So we saw the easiest thing for us to do was to create a portal for your students that allowed them to access the ebooks that they'd already purchased through Classbook and organize them by the courses that they're taking so that they can easily go to the book they're using. It'll redirect them into the application that that book is through, and it's a seamless process for them to pull up the books when they're in their classes.
Well, you know, Frazier and I have talked probably on one of the original episodes about a school, kind of the state of ebooks. And, you know, it's a challenge for the challenge for my school, for example, is that we provide the books for the students where they don't buy those. So, you know, we've really struggled with, you know, and we've talked to you guys on multiple occasions. It's just difficult. There's really no great infrastructure at this point for schools like us to get the right books on the right devices in a way where you're not having to rebuy them every year. You know, it's very challenging. It's like, you know, it's one of those situations where we want to spend money on these digital books, but we just can't get them in a way that kind of helps us, you know? And that's where, you know, a company like classbooks.com or classbook.com is huge, because it's a complicated landscape. There's not one place to get all your books from. And so you kind of need somebody to like a clearinghouse to navigate this for you. And so you're not having to contact every single one of your publishers, you know, yourself. You can go to, they can call you guys, and you guys say, look, we've got these existing relationships. Let us navigate it for you.
Yeah, I mean, that exactly, that covers it in a nutshell, strictly because we found that, exactly like you said, schools reach out to us. They want to know, based on the books they're using, what's available in digital. We pull that analysis together for them, and then they say, wait, why is this book a rental? Why is it only good for 180 days or 365 days? So we outline for them what books the students can purchase that once they buy it, they own it for life. Inkling and Know are two of the top providers where a lot of the times when you buy the book, you own it for life. And especially with Inkling, you actually get the automatic updates from them when a new edition comes out, so that you're constantly updated and you own that book for life, something that you would never get even when print books were something that was, you know, that was the only option out there for the students. We wanted our service to be as comprehensive as possible, and that's why we created the relationships with the different providers. And we wanted to be able to have schools reach out to us and say, listen, this process, it's just too convoluted. There's too many different parts. We want to make this as easy as possible. And we want the students to be able to buy the books for a cheaper price and own them for life. And that's kind of where we went with that.
Do you foresee a change in the next 5 years where, I mean, where do you guys see this going as you guys strategically plan? Do you see it where, you know, there will be a subscription model, or where the you know, it will always be the lifetime ownership, but the cost of books will go down for schools? What do y'all foresee as kind of coming next? Are there any big changes that are happening with these publishers?
One of the big things we saw last year, and I'm sure your audience saw it also, was the Attorney General filing suit against Apple for price collusion, along with some of the major publishers, for the price they were charging on their ebooks. That was one tipping point that we saw, because after that indictment came out, when we were reaching out to publishers for pricing information, they were telling us that they were still working it out. They couldn't really give us pricing on ebooks because it was something where it didn't make sense for them to charge the same price that they were charging for a print book when the ebook had no cost of physical overhead, shipping, printing, all those different things that go into that cost. And while that cost is minor in terms of copywriting and the, you know, publisher and author royalties, we do hope to see the prices go down. Right now, when you look at an ebook in comparison with the print counterpart, you will see anywhere from a 25 to even 50% savings. We're hoping that trend continues. Apple iBooks has been one that's been huge for our clients, where you've got science textbook that's $150 in print, but you can get a one-year subscription for $15.99 or $10.99. We're really looking forward to seeing the offerings through certain providers like iBooks expand to be able to offer those options. With the subscription basis, that's what a lot of publishers have been doing. They'll do a one-year license, or for schools like yourselves where the school handles the textbooks for the students, they'll do a six-year license. And that is a great advantage to schools as well. But one thing we hear from all our clients is, well, they love the offerings from the publisher because a lot of the publishers will be able to outstrip what the individual providers like iBooks and Know can put out in an academic year. Their content isn't exactly on point with what their schools want to see. They want to see that enhanced content. They want to see those embedded images and videos and sound bites and that type of stuff. And we want to see more providers going in that direction while also being able to keep the price down. So that's where we want to see things go. But Classbook as a company, we're a touch at the mercy of the providers in terms of what they're able to offer. We do act as a clearinghouse to make this process as simple as possible for the parents, but at the same time, we don't create the content, I'm sad to say.
Yeah, that's really the challenge, is that, you know, and it's kind of a frustrating place to be in when we know what we want as a school, you know what you want as a provider. It's just getting the content creators to give it to you in a way that you want, in a way you can afford. And so, yeah, and you know, that's one of the things I love about the iBooks is the interactivity. Is, you know, it isn't just a PDF. While that certainly is great, it is awesome to see you know, interactive videos, and you know, then they have the built-in quizzes into the book, and you know, can kind of check your answers as you go. One of the things that I was, you know, kind of brainstorming with is that I would love to see is, so let's say, like, you know, 20 years from now, a math book where a student has their math homework on an iPad type device. And if a teacher sees real time analytics while the kids are doing their homework, so she can, you know, he or she can see that, like, you know, 75% of the class is marking this math textbook, this problem that needs, hey, I need help with this tomorrow. So the teacher sees that, can email all the parents, say, hey, let's jump on a quick webinar and let me walk you guys through this question. That's where I'm really wanting to see this to go, is where it is kind of like that, you know, built-in analytics and interactivity. But I guess you just kind of have these, you know, the publishers, they obviously want to protect their interest. And then obviously, you know, we've got our preferences too about how we receive it. What we really struggle with is that when we buy a science textbook, we may use it for 5 years and we keep that. And so it's just difficult. And then we can't even find the science textbooks we use digitally. It's just, it's very frustrating because we, you know, we want to go digital with all that. We would like to throw backpacks in the trash and hand kids iPads with the books preloaded. We just can't get them. And it's not even a matter of vision or technology. It's just a matter in some ways of just, bureaucracy, I guess.
It is. You know, it's tough. The one thing we've been talking a lot with a couple of the main providers we work with, Know has been one of the big ones we've been talking to a lot. And they, as well as I'm sure many of the other providers, they have relationships with the publishers that allow them to bring content into the digital format. And that kind of ties their hands as to what they're able to do. A lot of the Know books that our schools are using, great content, great books, and some of them you can only rent for 180 days. You save a substantial amount of money over the print book, but you don't have it for the entire academic year, which is a big problem for our schools. They're still able to do the content and the social media sharing, which is perfect for them, but at the same time, the publishers, I'm not going to say they tie their hands, but they do designate how that book's going to be brought into the digital realm and what it's able to do. But with a couple of the providers that are out there, the social media components and the sharing are huge. Students being able to post notes, share their notes with each other. Inkling, one of their functionalities, is allowing the students to post notes, link to each other, follow each other's notes, and also the teacher can actually post questions that the students can respond to, and the teacher can actually manage his entire course to see what the students are doing. And like you said, there's some self-assessment functionality, quizzes and that type of thing, where the teachers can see what the students are doing and areas where they might need help. I want to see more providers move in that direction, and I think a lot of the different ebook providers are aware that that's the thing that schools want to see in the classroom, and the publishers also are conscious of that. But it's a gradual process. There's a lot more ebooks out there than there were 2 years ago, and I'm looking forward to over the next 4 or 5 years there being tons of offerings from different providers, overlap between titles that you can actually pick the provider you want your book through. It's something I really want to see, and really I do expect within the next 10 or 12 years to see students using a majority of ebooks in their curriculum. The technology and the devices support that, where 5 or 10 years ago it was tough because laptops were something that were just starting to make their way onto the scene with a lot of private schools. But now the technology, I think, you know, the iPad, the versatility of that device, and the Android tablet as well, they offer the ability to get this off the ground, and the publishers are starting to catch up. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens over the next 5 and even 10 years.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of us that, you know, live in this, you know, technology-driven world, we want the publishers to move at the speed that an independent developer can. So if a guy wants to make a new app for the iPad, he can just start writing it today and hopefully in a few months can ship it. And you know, these publishers are big companies that they're like yachts. They can't make turns quickly. And so they may have said 3 years ago, hey, we want to make this big iPad push. It takes a couple of years for them to do that, to get all of their kind of ducks in a row and make a push and do it right. So I guess it just does take time.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's, Frazier and I, again, have talked about that. And we just, you know, what you said about being able to pick your provider will be huge when you can say, get all your books and you can say, get that, you know, there are 5 ebook, you know, kind of providers, you know, or apps that can house your books, and you can say, we want to use this one. We like the functionality of this app better, or, and so we'll pick that one. I think that's kind of the dream.
Definitely.
Instead of having to say, you know, pick a, you know, I think the situation now is you're going to have to go to 3 or 4 different apps to kind of get your books. Do you guys see it where, I know there's some books that are kind of web-based. Do you see that trend continuing, or do you see that it really being more app driven?
I think, it's tough because if the school's not an Apple school, then they're limited dramatically. I think schools that use the iPad, it gives them the most flexibility in their curriculum, and it gives them the best ability to develop what they want to do in terms of an ebook curriculum. What we've seen with a lot of our schools is they are seeing the most success with an app-driven book or something that they can actually download to a device. They've got students. We've got a lot of schools where they have huge sports programs, and they've got students traveling all across the country. They want their students to be able to download the parts of the book that they need while they'll be out of town onto their device. So they're on a bus on the way home from a trip or a sporting event. They can look onto the book. They can study the material they need for the quiz the next day. The web-based stuff, we've got a couple providers out there that do have web-based content. And the schools that are moving in this direction, their wireless infrastructure is obviously top-notch, and they don't have a problem with that. But then depending upon where the school is, the student might have trouble with internet elsewhere. Or, you know, there's different issues that schools like to get up front and take care of before they move into this type of a program. Otherwise, I think the app-based is definitely something we're going to see take off. The wireless stuff and with internet-based books, it's just the functionality I just don't think is there. I really think it's something that the app-based things through Apple are really the way to go.
Yeah, we talked at the top of the show about the, you know, this blizzard up in the Northeast, and this is really going back to, if you do have in an area where there's, you know, kind of plenty of bandwidth for all the homes, and they've got great internet, yeah, even though school may be closed, teachers still may be able to interact with their class remotely, so assuming you have power. And that's kind of huge if you could say, all right, class is closed today, but we're going to have virtual class.
Right. Definitely. You know, we've got a lot of clients. We've got some boarding schools that are up in New Hampshire, Vermont, and not even a snowstorm, but, you know, a power outage or a power surge knocks everything out for them. And a lot of times the students will still have their devices and they'll still have, you know, the battery supply there to keep them rolling. And the school will have a generator to keep certain devices, you know, able. But if they don't have that book downloaded, they kind of run into issues with the wireless. It's definitely a concern that schools deal with before they make this type of transition.
Yeah, it's not one of those things you just decide to do on a Friday and start rolling out on Monday. It takes time to wade through this process to make sure you can get your books, see how you're going to get them, and understand how you're going to get those onto the right devices for the right students.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got schools that will reach out to us in the fall of 2013 and say in the fall of 2013, here's where we want to be. And we'll start with them from the ground up. We'll take their print curriculum and tell them what's out there in digital through the different providers that we work with. And then we've even got schools that say, hey, we've done some of that legwork, but what about this provider? Can you guys work with them? We start forming those relationships right off the bat to make sure that if there's a company out there we haven't spoke to, but they have e-content that our schools might want, we can get it. And that allows us to offer it up to all the other clients we have, which is always a great advantage. And then from there, we work with them every step of the way into the spring and the summer months, making sure that their students and their faculty are on board with what's happening. And even then, it's hard to get 100% of their curriculum onto the digital platform. We've got schools right now, we've got a couple that are at 100%, but that took a lot of change on their end. They had to one school had to do a little bit more of a top-down decision where the headmaster said, listen, this is the direction we're going. We're moving the school to a completely digital curriculum. And teachers did have to change their books. And that's a real hard thing to do if you've got a teacher that's liking, likes a certain book. They've used it for multiple years and they've got a curriculum based around it. To ask them to change a book is difficult. And that's why we're hoping that the providers that are out there releasing this digital content are going to be able to increase the offerings that teachers can pull from to make it so that teachers don't have to make the hard decisions and don't have to shy away from a book that they've been using for 10 or 12 years.
Yeah, as anything with technology, it always seems to change. It always seems to kind of push us along, and which is not a bad thing. So, Brian, this is kind of a great, really great discussion for me, and I hope for our listeners as well. It's, I guess, the kind of the takeaway is this environment changes every single month, and it's always changing. Would you say that's correct?
Absolutely, definitely. I mean, the companies that are out there now, they're working on new ebooks for the springtime, and they won't even be able to tell us what they're offering for at least another month or so. And then on top of that, you've got new providers, you've got the publishers that are releasing content, different apps that are out there, different ways to push this content out to your students. I mean, you guys know technology, stuff changes every day. You wake up in the morning and there's a new app out there that is the greatest thing to happen. When iTunes U hit the ground and a lot of our K-12 clients started using it, it was huge. It lit a fire under a lot of faculty members at our client school, and something that changed the entire climate in the K-12 market for our client schools. So we're really looking forward to see what changes and what happens by the springtime and into the summer months, because we know that our clients are always going to want more. There's always going to be new ebooks that they want to use in their curriculum, and it's our job to make that happen and make that fulfillment to the students as seamless as possible.
Well, somebody at school is listening and they want to kind of reach out to you guys, how does that process generally go?
Absolutely. If a school's interested in talking to us, one of the first things we're happy to do is talk to them about their needs, do more of an assessment of what they want to do in the next year or two. And then if we get to a point where they do want to, consider a partnership with us, we'll do the digital assessment and tell them based on their print curriculum what's available in digital and how we can facilitate that process. Really, the first step is just going right to classbook.com, and there's actually a button on it. Post an inquiry or a question, and we're happy to get in touch with them and answer questions or just kind of point them in the right direction, because there's so much information out there that your parents and faculty can use when they want to consider ebooks across the board. And we'd like to think that we're able to at least point people in the right direction, even if they're not a client, and help them. Well,
that sounds good. Again, classbook.com is the website. We'll have a link to that in the show notes at outofschool.net or in your favorite podcasting client. Brian, thanks for coming on the show today. Appreciate your insight. And this is probably one of those industries we could probably have you on the show again in 3 or 4 months, and it'll probably be an entirely different discussion because the whole thing will have changed.
Definitely.
So again, classbook.com. We'll be back with have another great guest next week. If you want to find me on the internet, I'm at Bradley Chambers on Twitter and app.net. ChambersDaily.com is my website. And, of course, our website is outofschool.net. So thanks for listening, everybody. If you have a second, leave a review on iTunes. Helps new people find the show. And we'll see you next week. All right.